You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Commonwealth Games wrapped up earlier this week, boasting the largest women's sports program in the competition's history. But with this expanded roster of sports for women to compete in, how can the sports media get their representations of female athletes correct? I spoke to Tony Bruce, a professor of sociology of sport and sports media at the University of Auckland, and started by asking her what a positive representation of a female athlete looks like.
I could say that what we would regard as a positive representation is something that takes a sportswoman seriously as an athlete. So it's coverage that focuses on performance. It can focus on the psychology or her thinking or preparation. It can focus on her skill levels, strategy, those kinds of things. So anything that would, where the focus is on who she is as an athlete. There's also a space to understand an athlete as a person. So the kind of profile stories we read, say for example on Locker Room, which really look deeply into, you know, the personality of a person, the way they think, some of the experiences in their lives that have led them to, you know, usually the high performance level that they're playing at. Those kinds of things are what we really look for and consider to be positive representations.
And from what you saw in the reporting of the Commonwealth Games, do you think the media largely did women justice, especially given the fact that they had expanded the women's event program to have the most events ever for women to compete in?
Well, I didn't read a huge amount of the coverage, but I watched quite a bit of the live coverage. And from what I saw, I think the media did a pretty good job. And what we know is that New Zealand media is actually doing a better job than pretty much anywhere else in the world at the moment. So when Labor came into power, they decided to invest heavily in the development of women's sport and the promotion of women's sport. So part of that promotion was to fund an annual media survey, which Sport New Zealand has been leading. And that has shown that even in the last couple of years, the overall mentions of women and sportswomen, that includes coaches, referees, leaders, that's gone up to from 17% to a couple of years ago to 19% now. And that is almost double the average globally. So by Grant Robertson coming into power as Minister for Sport and Recreation and stating that women in sport was his number one priority, what the government's done is put a lot of money towards developing and promoting women's sport, and we're actually seeing real effects of that in the way that the media is covering women's sport, which is fantastic.
And it's not just sports themselves that tend to be male-dominated, it's the sports media and journalism as well. How does this change the way that female-centred sports stories are told?
In some ways, I don't actually see the gender of the journalist to be a major issue, because there are some male journalists that write incredibly well about women's sport. It's more to do with the mentality and the way that a journalist thinks about women's sport. And what I'm seeing, I'm quite an optimist, but what I'm seeing is more and more male journalists, more and more sports editors, more and more people who are responsible for deciding within media where to allocate resources, I'm seeing more of that attention going towards women's sport. And it's being helped by the fact in New Zealand, for example, that we're hosting 3 World Cups in a fairly short period of time. It helps because there's been quite a significant discussion around the status of women's sport, what are some of the problems with media coverage in this case of women's sport. So we've actually got quite an active discussion happening. And in that discussion, people are thinking and reflecting, and all media want to do the best job they can. And what I see changing is that particularly the men in sports media want to do a better job than perhaps has been done before.
And what about social media? Because I know that personally, whenever I see a post on social media about women's sports, I'm kind of afraid to read the comments because I just know that it's going to be full of either sexualized comments about the athletes or just downright misogyny.
Yeah, I don't know what we can do about that. it doesn't matter what field you're in as a woman, there seems to be, you know, that vein of misogyny and sexualisation that just crops up regularly. I just think perhaps those are people with sad lives who are afraid of change, and perhaps we just need to try to ignore that and let it slide, because societal attitudes can be quite slow to change and some people can be quite resistant to change. But if we have a media in New Zealand that just continues, even in the face of that, and female athletes who continue even in the face of that, to just keep promoting themselves, to keep broadcasting and writing about women's sport, to be telling the kinds of stories that are well-rounded and really focus on skill, strategy, and even critiquing when teams aren't performing well, that will slowly over time change attitudes.
And in your work, you have identified five techniques that the media has historically used in their portrayal of women's sports. And I just wanted to talk about one of them that I found particularly interesting. Compulsory heterosexuality. What is this, and what are a few examples of how we might see it?
Well, actually, I think that's one that's kind of disappearing a little bit too. So compulsory heterosexuality was a way of talking about the fact that media tended to focus on women who fit ideal notions of femininity, you know, long hair, smiling, obviously heterosexual. So heterosexual women would have their husbands or boyfriends or relationships kind of profiled, whereas lesbian women athletes were almost always presented as individuals, and so their personal lives or the fact that they were in a relationship with another woman was completely sidelined or ignored. And women who were women who physically didn't fit the ideal femininity, they tended to get much less coverage than women who did kind of represent whatever our current notion was of ideal femininity. But I really have seen quite significant changes in that, I would say, in the last 5 to 6 years. So New Zealand media is getting quite good at telling stories about our elite female athletes who get engaged or get married or have children. So I actually think, again, there's this kind of global shift happening in the way that media think about women athletes, and that also relates to an opening up towards all kinds of sexualities.
And as you said before, New Zealand will be hosting the Women's Rugby World Cup and the Women's Football World Cup. So does this give New Zealand sports media the perfect opportunity to set the bar and show the rest of the world how it's done?
Absolutely. And I hope that they are able to achieve that. It helps when women's sport is successful, so that's another thing. Like, if you look at the Commonwealth Games coverage, the focus is overwhelmingly on medalists and overwhelmingly on gold medalists. So in studies I've done in the past of the Commonwealth Games and the Olympic Games, you'll find that if our women win more gold medals, they actually get a lot more coverage, sometimes even more coverage than the men. So there's a whole lot of intersecting things that all have to come together, like winning, being successful, and having a media that's actually willing and interested to tell those stories. So change is the intersection of a whole lot of different things that have to come together at the same time in order to create these shifts. But what I'm really excited about is seeing that New Zealand media appear to be on board with gender equality and actually taking women's sport seriously. So I'm really happy that we're leading the world, and I would like to see us continue to do that and even push things further.
That was Tony Bruce, a Professor of Sociology of Sport and Sports Media at the University of Auckland.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.